here at the Weekly Polls with my co-hosts at the Tevin and Z13. Ricky Z, what's up, boys?
Yo, that's me. I'm Tevin. The one who said hi is Ricky. So you know the
Z. Ricky, best friend of 20 years, best friend of 20 days. You can decide who's who.
It's always going to be 20 days. I think you'll ever move.
It's never
going to
get any higher. It's always going to be 20.
You'll never
days.
Hit 21.
Yeah.
So we have a very, very special guest on this episode.
Bam, bam, bam.
We have Mr. David Hazan from the writer of Nottingham.
Hello.
There he is.
No.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Hey, David.
We're fortunate because David's on the other side of the world and we got him out of bed.
We did. We woke him up. I don't even know if he's had coffee yet. David, do you drink coffee?
I don't drink coffee, so you're getting, unfiltered me.
How do you pep yourself up? Do you drink a soda? How do you get
that? Sometimes. Energy drinks, but
like
usually not
tea?
In the morning.
Oh, yeah, okay. Energy drinks. What's your drink? What's your favorite one?
I don't know which ones you have in America, but here my favorite. Well, we have like you guys have Red Bull or V's is my choice. I don't know.
I had a Red Bull a little bit ago.
So like my wife makes me watch Wentworth and they be eating hella biscuits. Is that real? Do you also eat?
I tend to avoid prison dramas. but I can understand that, like, in a women's prison, people would be just eating a lot of biscuits. It makes sense. So I assume for your listeners who don't really get the connotation, biscuits are what you would call cookies. In Australia, we call them biscuits. And I guess what you would call biscuits, we call scones.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Kind of, they're a little bit different, I suppose.
I got Southern family. What we call biscuits, y'all call heart attacks.
Yeah.
I think we overtook you in obesity rate, so I wouldn't be so sure.
Oh man!
No way.
Are
we
suck again.
Well, we're pretty close. I think we're neck and neck. You know. Or no
and
neck
know,
and
like,
no neck, as it were.
I'm going to have to go eat some biscuits.
That's
funny. Go eat some biscuits, bring those numbers up.
Damn, hit the hell out of the symbol.
Dang.
Well, I tell you, I am so excited to have you on. I'm just going to tell you a little bit of how I even picked up this book. So we were at our local comic shop, and I'm sorry to segue in, but I'm so stoked to talk to you, man.
Thank you.
My local comic shop guy, he was like, hey, have you ever heard of this comic book? And me and Derek were like, we never saw it on the shelves. It's hard to even get a hold of. And so he gave me a copy. I bought a copy of Nottingham 1, and I was sold from the beginning of that book.
And he was kind enough to let me borrow it.
Yeah, I said, I'm so stoked that he even told me about it. Didn't know who Mad Cave was. Now I'm jumping into the cave to learn everything.
Jumping in.
And I just want to say, too, our homie Joe on Twitter totally mailed us issues 2 through 5 because he loves us.
For
and
real.
David, our homie Joe really loves you. Will you give Joe a shout-out for us?
Hey, Joe, thanks for reading. I very much appreciate you. I've seen you around on Twitter, and I appreciate the hype up, so thanks very much.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Oh, that accent too, man.
That sells it. That's the whole selling point.
I mean, I can go deeper. I can go full Steve Irwin if you want, but I don't think anybody really wants that.
No, we're in.
Please don't make me.
I'm gonna put Ricky on a plane right now and get him over there to make you do it.
I think he could beat me up.
Well, I'm not that scary. Yeah, look, I thankfully the Australian government is not letting people in. Also, not so damn it. They're not letting people out either. So,
so the live weekly polls interview with David Hazan is probably not happening. So.
Yeah, look, not soon. Not soon.
Yeah, look. You're
stuck there with all the scary spiders and shit.
Yeah, basically, life in Australia right now is like the real life Wentworth, but a whole country of that.
Dang. Sounds fun.
So everybody's got their biscuits.
Well, I mean, most of the country is in lockdown right now, so what else do we have but biscuits?
You got scorpions, don't you? You have some kangaroos.
Spiders are our thing. Kangaroos.
Yeah, I thought you guys are crazy. Yeah,
if only we were allowed outside, you know?
what's it called? That giant bird eater tarantula? Is that from you guys or is that somewhere else?
Look, I make a point of not investing too much of my brain into thinking about bird eating tarantulas.
I told my wife that you were from Australia, and she's like, I don't ever want to go there. They have such big spiders.
I'm from the city. We don't really have that. You have to venture out. You know, I mean, they probably exist, but in very small numbers. You have to venture out into the country to really get that sort of thing.
Apparently, and I don't know if this is true. I mean, I read it on the internet, so odds are it's definitely true. that the majority of your wildlife-related deaths in Australia actually come from bees.
Yeah, so, I have no idea. I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I know that's very on topic with comics and your specific book, but you know.
He's part of the bee conspiracy.
He's silencing this whole thing.
That's right.
I'm not silencing it. I just can't give you the answer you're looking for. Need more information.
I think we're a little bit more than into the out of the comic book and into the.
I love being in the weeds, man. It's fun.
Just check yourself for ticks.
Oh boy. So, David, I got a – well, unless – you know, Derek, do you want to jump in front of me? What do you want to do?
Go ahead, Ricky. Hey, you're on a roll. Cool, go ahead.
Why not? I'm on a roll talking about nonsense. So, I was just curious. So, for me, I got into Nottingham earlier than Tevin. No, but that's just because I had already read some Mad Cave stuff. So, I was excited. I saw a Mad Cave book, and I can't remember the exact pitch, but it was about – basically just like, hey, this is Robin Hood, but with like way more violence. And I was like, cool, put it on my pulls. So I have all five, and one of them's never even been opened because I read it digitally on the sneaky. But anyway, so I've got all five of them.
Master strategist.
Oh, and I didn't even know. I mean, I didn't expect. I mean, a lot of people don't know who Mad Cave is, so I didn't really expect it to be like this.
Yeah, and me and Tevin had curious, never heard of it.
How did you – I mean, obviously, it's you made this thing, so you knew going into it that you liked the story. But did you expect it to really blow up like this and to be so hard to find?
Yeah, I did not expect that at all. sorry, that was a really pleasant surprise. And it was sort of this snowballing thing where like – we went to our second printing we got super hyped up, and that was a big deal. And then third, and then fourth, and then fifth, and it just was like, what is going on here? I still don't fully understand why people went so nuts for it. Like, it's one of those things where as a creator, you're never quite 100% sure, especially when it's your first book. And so I'm still both bewildered and, you know, incredibly flattered that people have gone completely crazy for this book.
So this was your first book?
Yeah.
All right, Michael Jordan.
Whoa, man.
That's
awesome.
Hey, so this is a good segue here because I'm guessing, I don't know, I think Derek and Tevin, we talked about this a little, but David, correct me if I'm wrong, you were the 2019 Mad Cave Talent Search winner. Is that correct?
Oh, well, yeah, one of them. So they pick crop of writers and artists. And yeah, I was one of the writing winners. And Shane, our artist, was one of the art winners.
So this is, like you guys said, this is like the Bulls drafted Michael Jordan, and they're just like, bam, there it is right away.
Yeah.
Big wins.
Did you pitch with Nottingham? Is that how you won, or was that another concept that you won the
So the contest basically invites you to write in one of Mad Cave's then existing worlds. So I believe this year's one is all based around Wolvenheart. But 2019, you could pick any existing Mad Cave property and play with that. So the story I wrote was a Battle Cat story where I may have killed almost the entire cast of the Battle Cats. Nice.
That's a good route to go. Game of Thrones them.
Yeah, I feel like it was on theme, you know. on brand for me now looking back. But yeah, it's and Mad Cave, you know, came back to me. They were like, we normally, you know, shoot over pitches, or at least a starting point for you. We don't really necessarily have one other than the we want a noir, and we want it kind of gender bent. And I pitched them something I thought was closer to what they wanted. And then I also pitched them Nottingham, and they liked Nottingham so much that they kind of, you know, were all in when I sent through the pitch. So that went all the way up to Mark London and came back to me, and they were like, we want this, let's do it. And like a couple of weeks later, I had turned in an outline and we were rolling.
Nice.
That's amazing.
That's pretty awesome. Cause and then even within Nottingham, there's a little bit of kind of noir elements even within. And just since we didn't say it yet, everybody who's going to listen, this is going to be tons of spoilers because we're getting ready for the release of the trade paperback, which is in October?
September 22nd.
Even September sooner, 22nd. September.
Hey, get your pre-orders in.
Yeah.
Let your LCS know. Get those pre-orders in. I mean, you really don't want to miss the story.
No, seriously, son. And as fast as the singles went, I had no idea because they were getting put into my box. And then every time I went in there, they're like, "Yeah, we only get a couple issues, and they're gone, and they're already on like second printing, third printing, 57th printing, and the fourth issue's not even out yet." And I'm like,
"Because that's what our guy said. Our Josh over at our LCS said that like Mad Cave only printed what people were ordering. So like Josh was only ordering, the only books he ordered were like for people that actually pulled it. So like he didn't get no extra copies." Mm-hmm. So like, dude, it's like the fucking Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with this shit.
and even even with, you know, Mad Cave only printing what was ordered, I'm pretty sure we smashed their, like, their initial pre-order record.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, with our first printing, and then we went to another four printings on issue one. You know?
Holy cow, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's what, like, the hardest books to find for a chunk of time there was Radiant Black and Nottingham. And it was like, no matter what. And it was the same story. Well, not the same, but similar, where it's just like, you got to wait for the next printing. Oh, they're already on a third printing. They're, you know, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
I just thought that was so crazy, especially for, again, like Mad Cave. It's not like they're super unknown, but they're smaller of these kind of up and coming groups. They have a lot of books. People know Battle Cats, you know, things like that.
Right.
I know, what was it, Knights of the Golden Circle? That had some pretty good, I read part of that. That seemed to be pretty well received, but this thing just was in and out so fast you couldn't get your hands on it.
Yeah.
So anyway, you said that you were you know, you came up with this and it wasn't your initial to kind of match what they were looking for, but they went with this one. What kind of led you to this? Are you just like, are you into history? Are you like a history buff, or did you have like
you watch the Harry Potter animated? You saw Prince John as a cheetah and you were like, not today.
Well, you know, I've always been a fan of the legends, and I hope that, like, comes through when you read it. But I'm really fascinated by the sort of interaction between actual history and legend in the Robin Hood mythos. I think that's really interesting, and it to me, it's the reason why it's so popular. It's because there's this, like, weird verisimilitude to it, where, you know, parts of it, the parts that, you know, don't actually involve Robin Hood himself, actually happened. You know, there's this huge power struggle between Richard and John, and you know, it's really fun to kind of play in that world where you have these signposts. And you'll see as we head into volume two, I dig a whole lot deeper into that. And if we get, you know, a third volume, I'll dig even deeper into that conflict as a backdrop for the conflict between our characters. It's some really interesting and fascinating stuff in the history that really, I feel like should always inform the way the legend is told, regardless of the tone you're taking. And that was part of the fascination for me. But from sort of a top-down level, they asked me for a noir, and I was like, okay, I don't want to do a setting that is conventional. So, you know, we get a lot of, like, you know, present-day noir, like modern history noir, dating back to at least, you know, 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
It's been done.
Tons done of Prohibition era stuff. Yeah, all that.
Yeah. That's your main, when you think noir, that's what I go to.
Yeah.
And then if you go sci-fi, you have all this cyberpunk stuff that's just noir done to death. So I wanted to surprise people and set it in such a way as, you know, to differentiate from everything that was in the market.
And you really nailed it, dude.
Yeah, I think you definitely hit the mark.
There's a lot of saturation in the market right now. Not that it's like a super bad thing, but like there's a lot of end of the world comics out there right now. Yep. So it's like, if you're gonna write that, you really have to nail it. So you, like, just, like, said, okay, noir, fuck it, Robin Hood. And I'm like, yes!
Yeah, and I think the part of it, what led me there was my fascination with the history. Because if you look at the, you know, this is me getting academic David going absolutely nuts. But
go for it.
If you look at the birth of the noir genre, it launched sort of out of post-World War II anxiety. And people who had seen horrible things returning home and kind of the idea that they would either, you know, do horrible things having seen horrible things, or just, you know, the generalized anxiety of what happens next, you know, after World War II. And I thought, well, what is the medieval parallel to that? And the Crusades just kind of launched up at me as this the equivalent of this kind of, you know, continent-spanning conflict, really, despite how, you know, localized it was, you know, what we now know as Israel and Palestine really is. It's a small place. Right. But it really created global conflict. And I thought, well, once I got to the Crusades, I thought, what is the best way to make this comics? And the answer was clearly Robin Hood.
Yeah, and honestly, what you did there is you took, like, an original World War One and spun it with noir instead of doing World War Two. Because, you know, I tell you, looking back at this, and I was reading through and we were getting some of Everard's background in the Crusades, I really wanted to dive more into that because, I mean, I love that era. There's just so many twists behind the shadows. And we were getting some of that, you know, where they were sending, like, people who weren't necessarily holy men, some people who were just trying to escape a bad situation on this holy mission. And, you know, you just have so many, like, shadow hands moving around during the Crusades in history. And it's just, you know, a lot of people don't know that backdrop. And I was like, what did Everard get himself into? So I was like deep into that.
Spoiler alert, he's a school teacher, a history teacher. Spoiler alert.
Nerd.
So I do. I love the Crusades era and, you know, the Pope's hand and all of that. I know we didn't really see the Pope in the book, but I'm hoping maybe he makes an appearance, but it doesn't really fit the setting too much. But I did. I wanted to dive into Everard's Crusade journey. Will we get any of that?
Funny you should say that. I don't think we will see the Pope in volume 2, but we definitely head to places outside of Nottingham and outside of England that, you know, one might see one's Pope.
All right.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah. So the kind of plan for volume 2 is we're going sort of a lot bigger and a lot wider, but the story really has ramifications for everyone back home in Nottingham. And if you know the history, you'll be able to figure out exactly what I'm talking about when I say that this is set, you know, heavily in 1193. And let's just say our sheriff is going to be burdened with the task of rescuing someone you know, he may or may not want to rescue. So we'll see what happens.
Uh-oh. Like, now you've got me hyped for volume 2.
Don't tease me, David.
That's kind of my job, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
They literally get paid for this.
Oh, yeah.
I remember after I read issue 5, I went to Ricky and I was like, you know, is there plans for a 2? Because, you know, I'm too lazy to Google it right now. And Ricky's the man who I go to for some of these questions. And Derek, I go to them as well. But with Nottingham, it's really like me and Ricky. And I was like, you know, what's going on here? Because there has to be something else. Like, this can't be it. I'm hooked. You've got me. And I'm telling you, it probably is that history aspect. Now that you bring it up, that's what brings it out of me.
And what was my response, Tevin?
Volume 2.
Volume 2 is literally why we're doing this interview.
Yeah. We don't really have a date yet. The art has started. I'm finishing off the scripts. But yeah, look, I have a million and one ideas for Nottingham. So, you know, if people keep liking it, I'll keep doing it. And if Mad Cave keeps wanting me to do it, I'll keep doing it. But yeah, I have enough, you know, to feed a good few years worth of story, I think.
Whoa!
Nice.
I want it all.
That was one of my
questions.
If you
need me to
go,
Ricky,
go
ahead. I'll say what I got to say next.
Oh, okay. Well, I was my one of my next questions was, will there be a volume 3? But that pretty much answered it.
I mean, the answer is I want there to be, but yeah. We'll see.
As long as we can get everybody to keep reading this, we're gonna get volume infinity.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give essentially the same answer that I've given in the past when asked about volume 2, which is that, you know, it's in the hands of our dear readers, essentially. You know, as long as people keep buying these books, we keep getting to make them.
Nice.
Since it's so hard to get copies of, you know, issues 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, you might be able to find an issue 5 since that one's more recent. Would pushing the trade paperback help in making
Absolutely.
Sure that volume 2 gets pushed?
Yeah,
hey, I want all of you to do it for selfish reasons because I want volume 2.
Yeah, you should still be able to.
Yeah, you need to pick it up. Put it on your pre-orders tonight.
Yeah. So
that's the time I'm selling this.
As a courtesy for your listeners, the diamond code for the trade is July 211786.
Oh,
but go. Also for the record, I believe you can should still be able to get a bunch of issues on Mad Cave's website.
Ooh.
Okay.
Pro tips.
Pro tips. That's right.
True. Yeah, that's so David, something that really that I liked a lot with this while Tevin's doing his little Google over there. the art for me was huge. I'm obviously we're here to talk about you and the book in general with the writing, but I thought the art was really unique and different. Retweet. It was nice to just I don't know, that's kind of what hooked me was it sounds graphic and interesting, but also that art looks real cool. And I think I'd seen a proposed, like a teaser cover. I can't remember which one. And it's when it's the one where Ebb's like on the side of a rock and it just looked really cool. But anyway, what's it like working with Shane Connery Volk? And is he sticking with the book for now?
Yes, Shane is awesome. Like, I just, first of all, you just cannot talk about comics without talking about the art. And I think that's, you know, something that often goes by the wayside in these interviews, but I always try to make sure that it doesn't. So thank you for bringing it up.
Good guy, Dave.
Shane, well, it's just, you know, it's just a common courtesy. And like Shane is obviously awesome. And you know, you obviously said that you were drawn into the book by Shane's art. So, you know, for selfish reasons, I want to keep the man happy. And he's awesome. Like, he's such a cool dude. And, you know, he's a fantastic artist. And honestly, I didn't see it in his style until I saw the first concepts come in. And as soon as I saw those characters and designs, I was like, shit. Sorry if I'm swearing on your book.
Oh, you're totally allowed.
You're good.
I was time, like, dude. Shit, this is awesome. And he's got like this like grungy 90s thing going on with a little bit of like jock mixed in. And it's just honestly superb. And he keeps upping his game. And I'm like, I don't know if I can keep up with like how, you know, how much he keeps leveling up between issues.
Yeah.
Like looking at his you know, his art for, you know, our issue 6. It's just like I'm just floored and I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to have to get better at this writing thing." Unless I'm going to get left behind.
You're not kidding though. Like it is like as we're reading issue by issue, we don't really notice those, you know, the small changes or like, as you said, like improvements or however you want to look at it. But as I'm sitting here right now and I look at issue 1, just a quick flip through, right, look at some of the pages, then go to issue 5, it's like it just, he honed it further and just made it really tight. And like you said, just the way the design of the characters, the way they're proportioned, the stylized nature of everything really fits. It has that grunge look where it's really real but also very comic book, and it definitely fits that kind of detective-y type comic while also still sticking in that Crusades era. It was a really interesting blend and it really worked out well.
Yeah. It's kind of like it balances. And also I have to shout out Luca Romano, our colors.
The colors are good.
And I think it's honestly genius the way Luca approached this as well. But back to Shane for a moment. Shane's art kind of balances this kind of like grungy, gritty thing with this like almost mythic quality that we're trying to achieve.
Mm.
And then Luca, instead of going for like muted kind of colors that you would expect out of kind of something that's like set in this era, he's like, I'm gonna go as bright as I possibly can, and in doing so he kind of achieves this like it kind of keeps reminding you that this is Robin Hood, and the colors almost trick you in a way in your mind into going down the path of, you know, this is like our fantastic, fabulous man of myth, and then you know, the blood starts flowing and you're like, oh, I remember, this is not that. And it's this weird juxtaposition that, like, that makes, you know, the book look so wonderful as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing in the art that really stuck out to me was, I mean, what he does, what Volk does with the eyes. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if anybody else is analyzing those eyes, but Everard is just so black with just the white speck, and then Maid Marian has those colorful eyes, and you know, that's also a colorist shout out too. So I mean, what I saw with those eyes going panel to panel, it was just, it really brought out just the different backgrounds of these characters. Like Everard's so dark background, and you know, the others are rich nobility who don't really know.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know who pointed this out, but someone pointed this out in a review, and I kind of can't unsee it. But there's like almost like this Shakespearean quality to the way Shane draws these characters, in that like their inner turmoil is kind of expressed in their outward appearance, and you know, that's really what made me fall in love with the art, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's cool too. What you can do with just eyes.
Yeah, I think like what you're saying, David, about Lucas colors, and how it is, like you said, there isn't that muted color you'd expect. So some of the background characters, sure, they have a little bit more dulled down. You know, the support, the different the army types, the military soldier types, they've got a little bit more calm colors, and then you got like Marian as this very bright green with her hairs, this orange red, really, you know, super bright colors. And then even with Everard, he's got like these contrasting pieces that brighten a little bit. Little John and all, like, they have these little color splashes that draw them out.
Not so little, Little John.
Yeah, no, gigantic, massive. Super massive, man. So yeah, I was blown away, because it didn't really talk about who Everard was till like maybe issue 3, or maybe it was the end of issue 2, when they finally revealed that he's the sheriff of Nottingham. And I was like, whoa, it makes so much sense now. And at first I had no idea that was coming.
I mean, we telegraphed in issue 1, like within the first, I mean, he gets called sheriff a hell of a lot in the first couple of issues.
He does, but you got to remember that I'm not very smart. No, you're definitely right. They did say sheriff a bunch, but for some reason, I was just like, oh, I don't know who this guy is. He's got a different name, sheriff, whatever. And again, I'm not the most intelligent person, so that's. But as we're going through it, I'm reading it, and I'm kind of getting this vibe that maybe he's the good guy, and I'm expecting Robin Hood to be the good guy. So it was kind of throwing me off. And then I was like, wait a second, who's good and who's bad? Because it's kind of, it gives you that leaning in where you're thinking the guy they're making you think is bad is actually going to be good. And that's kind of where I was back and forth for the first little bit, until I feel like you kind of solidified it and made it clear who's good and who's bad, but maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Did I?
That's what I said.
so you think, Ricky, you think there's a little bit of a split there. You don't know if Everard's the good guy?
So I don't, because I just watched Robin Hood from Disney too much as a kid. So it's but no, I mean, Robin Hood, well, I just, at first they had it like, okay, because I'm thinking corrupt government. Well, of course, the rebellion resistance types are really going to be the good guys in the end of this. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, wait, maybe not. Now he's got me guessing, and it's like a chess game, and I don't know what's going to happen next. And I like it that way, because, again, I'm dumb, so it's easy for me to just throttle back and let the story be told.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's nice getting like this perspective, too, because it's always like Robin Hood's the hero, but it's like maybe Hood and the homies aren't the heroes this time. Like, I don't know. It's really easy to look against, like, you know, the government or the big power as being like the bad
guy.
Right.
That's the default. That's always
right.
Default.
It's always like the government sucks, or the big guy sucks. We always got to cheer for the little guy. Well, maybe the little guy's just being a pain in the ass for once.
That's right. And, you know, I was talking, Derek asked me about this earlier today, and I'm just going to repeat what I said to him. you know, he asked me about it, and I said, you know, I really feel like Hood is just a fanatic. Like, he doesn't really.
Yeah, he's like a little crazy.
Yeah, he's just, he brings in a crowd because he's so wild. Like, in the beginning, you know, his intentions are pure. And David, we might be J.K. Rowling's you right now and just going way off the handle with the mythos. But
look, can I just, if you're going to go down that road, can I just, you know, say something before we get too deep into accusing me of being J.K. Rowling? trans women are women, guys, but...
Retweet.
So, but I do. I feel like Hood is just a fanatic, and fanatics bring crowds because they're so extreme. And his views are extremist views, and, you know, what Everard said about, you know, are you really giving back to the poor? Who's the person behind it? You know, that's what I'm saying with Shadow Hands and those crusades. Like, you know, everything was coming together for me where I'm like, this is not black and white anymore. Like, Everard is really fighting a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. And I will say this, by the end of issue 5, you kind of get an idea of what's happening with the money.
Yes.
But by the end of issue 10, you will know exactly where the money has gone.
Snacks.
All right.
Snacks.
If I was Robin Hood, that's what the fuck I'm buying. Snacks. Give me all the biscuits.
Here we go. Prince John's kept our biscuits. Jeez.
Nottingham's newest dungeon drama.
So, David, if we can ask, who are some creators who've influenced you over the years? You know, before Nottingham, you had a lot of other stuff. I assume you did this hobby wise for a while. Influenced you to get in?
So my biggest, writing inspiration is Tom King. I'm obsessed. Mr. Miracle kind of sent me down the rabbit hole. And Vision 2, and you know, I will literally throw money at whatever he's doing. Mostly because it vibes with me, and kind of like there's always this like sad kind of melancholy to whatever he's doing, and it's like got this fatalistic bent to it, which I hope, you know, I've injected some of that into Nottingham, where it's like no matter what we do. Everything is just completely fucked.
Hey, I pick it up. I see what you're putting down. I do.
Yeah. So Tom King's, I mean, he's a more modern era writer. So did you grow up reading comic books, or did you really get into it later?
I did not. My folks were like not super into the idea of us reading comics. And they still subscribed to that kind of comics are for kids and you should be reading real big boy books.
did they read Nottingham? Okay,
they did. They enjoyed it. It's not particularly their thing. It's a bit too graphic for them.
Okay, yes.
Way to go, Shane.
So how did you find out about that contest, the Mad Cave contest?
Find a thread somewhere? I guess my comics journey started about
1193 back in Nottingham.
more like 2018. Close.
I was gonna ask you how old you were if you would have said yes, but there you go.
Ancient. And so it started with some of my colleagues getting kind of sick of me talking about like comics media without reading comics, and they were like, you need to do the thing, and they shoved a bunch of books in my hands, one of which was Batwoman Elegy, there's Rucker and J.H. Williams one, which is just a goddamn beautiful book, and I read that and I was hooked and kind of went down the rabbit hole. I was like, you know what? You know, I've tried writing prose for years and it's just never kind of, I've never had the kind of staying power to make it a thing. But as soon as I started having a crack at writing comics, it was it just was like a huge revelation. It was like, this makes sense. How have I not been doing this before?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, part of that is obviously kind of shifting some of the burden of the storytelling onto the artist, but also, you know, like, as I'm a lawyer in my day job, it's much easier to write comics piecemeal. I wrote the bulk of Nottingham while on public transport to and from work.
Whoa.
So you're like super smart.
You're
a whole ass lawyer.
Do your paralegals write some dissertations about Nottingham for you, or do you do that on your own?
I don't have paralegals. I work in a very small firm. We have a legal secretary who like looked at my books and she was like, cool. zero interest whatsoever. Nobody I work with is a huge sci-fi fantasy comics person. So not now anyway. My old job, I used to work for a publisher where I was surrounded by people who were obsessed with comics and who got me into comics in the first place, to whom I will forever be thankful. But nowadays I sort of work in a small firm and, you know, so don't have any of those people surrounding me anymore. But we still do have a little Twitter chat where, you know, every time I post something Nottingham related, they'll like cheer me on.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Have that support team behind you. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, hey, are you, if you can, I don't know if you can say one way or the other, are you on a Mad Cave contract, or so should we be watching Mad Cave for potentially other works from you, or are you free to kind of wander?
Yeah, look, I think in indie comics, there's no such thing as exclusivity unless right. you're working for Marvel or DC, you're not working exclusively. Like,
nice.
You know, if Mad Cave were to suddenly decide to throw that much money at me, sure. Like, but at the moment, I'm just, you know, I'm doing the old indie comics hustle. You know, I sent out a bunch of pitches yesterday, so
nice.
Waiting to hear back from a couple of places, which will hopefully make you excited when, you know, we get to actually make the books and announce it. But there is another book from me other than Nottingham Volume 2 coming from Mad Cave towards the end of next year. I can't say too much about it, but it is a horror book.
Describe it. Three words right here. Go.
magic, murder, stories.
Amazing. I thought for sure you were gonna say mayhem and make it a triple M.
I feel like
it's called an alliteration, Derek.
Just kind of murder and mayhem are just kind of the two words that I use, you know, there's one word that changes what I the book, you know, because like medieval mayhem and murder is kind of the three words I use for Nottingham. I thought I'd change it up a little bit.
The creative mind at work.
You did better than me. I would have just said, "Hey,
see
scary
the machinery
story
behind the."
If it was Ricky, he would have just said, "It's good."
It's good. Am I wrong though?
I don't think so.
Who knows?
We'll see.
Let's see. So yeah, I want to just encourage in general. Like Nottingham has been my favorite Mad Cave book so far. I've read a few others, Midnight Task Force. I didn't finish I read parts of Knights of the Golden Circle or Sun. Gosh darn it. I can never get that one right. I read a good portion of that. Battle Cats, and then Honor and Curse was one I really liked too. But Nottingham's been my favorite. But I gotta say, with all the Mad Cave books, for anybody listening, the book quality, the actual, like, when you hold it in your hands, it's a higher quality book than what a lot of the stuff we see on shelves. And I would encourage anybody, if you see a Mad Cave thing, they're, so far I haven't seen anything that I didn't like. So I would check them out. They have a lot to offer.
This is definitely one of my top five.
I mean, at this point, with Nottingham doing as well, David Hazan is about to turn Mad Cave into Mad Mansion.
Oh, my
God. Oh.
Yeah. David, I'd like to thank you. We should have. We shouldn't give him those pity laughs.
We should not. That joke was awful. That joke laughed for a reason. And then we gave him some pity chuckles. Come on.
I didn't want to have dead air. I was trying to be cool, man.
No, dead air is okay after that terrible joke. I'm done.
Dead air Derek. That's
dude, I was literally thinking about that joke for 5 minutes.
You can just go back, right, edit it, and just put the dead air in there instead.
Yeah.
This might be the first edited episode of the Weekly Pool just to cut the laugh.
Joke's on you guys. I am in control, and I ain't editing shit.
Oh, man. Rats. I do want to thank David, since we're talking about houses and mansions and caves. I want to thank David in advance for the retirement home that I'm going to buy with these Nottingham issues.
I had no idea that it was going to blow up that much, but friends kept sending me the eBay links, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, our LCS guy pulled it up on his phone in the shop. He was like, yeah, bro, like, first prints are already like $100 on eBay. We're like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, shoot, I paid like $4 for this thing. Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, I think, like I said, I really enjoyed reading the book. And I feel like I asked a lot of questions here, but I feel like we kind of stomped on Derek. Derek, you got something to say?
Yeah, oh, man, buddy. You guys are cool, man.
Whatever, man.
you guys are doing great. I'm here to just add in and ad lib here.
Like,
me and Tevin are like fangirling over David here. So I just wanted
to... Talk to
Derek later. Privately, I'm gonna have to send Derek a text message and talk to him privately after this. So
feelings, you know, you fucking hurt.
Might see some Twitter beef out there.
I love a good Twitter beef.
I love beef.
But yeah, man, I tell you, this is after I read issue one. I told Derek, I said, I got it. I got to get the next one. And then, you know, shout out to Joe for
reaching
out and sending us those issues. And, you know, I was going to the store and I was going to pick up issue 5. I don't think they had any in stock. And then, you know, I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but Derek told me, he's like, hey, he's also sending you 5. And I was like, this man is a saint. And I cannot get over the story. I mean, buddy, I could hold you all day and just talk about the history aspect of the
show. Joe is the hero Nottingham deserves.
So. Yeah, I do. What's your favorite cover out of all these?
I love the first printing on issue 3. It just, to me, it captured the heart of it. And
you're talking about with the ship
and I keep,
on the water.
Yeah, and I keep begging Shane to send me that. And he refuses. There is Shame. The original art out there in Canada. That original art is just sitting there and it's not on my wall, and that bugs the hell out of me.
Yeah. Get this man his art. He has a Twitter, right? Does he have a Twitter? We're gonna add him.
Don't beg him for that. That's my running joke for the.
Someone called.
Eventually,
Nicholas
he will send me something unless I annoy him this much.
I really liked. Well, honestly, cover one hooked everybody pretty clearly, because, like, what are we looking at here? It's like a smiley helmet with blood everywhere. You know, like, that was, and I just. There's like a texture in the font of Nottingham, like the way that it's put out, that's just, I don't know, it just draws you in. there's the whole, just the whole vibe of it just looks a certain way that gets people's attention. And I think that's another factor in why the local shops had such a hard time keeping it. You walk by it and you're like, that looks interesting. And you just have to grab it.
Anytime anything is crying blood, I'm in.
if I can hop into this cover discussion here, I like the second printing of issue 3. I believe it's the second printing. Hold on, let me mute myself and I'm going to open this real quick.
Oh, what a loser. Hey, while Tevin's muted, we should all just like talk crap about him. I know he can still hear, but he can't fight back.
No, I'm back. So.
Ah, well, missed opportunity.
Yeah, so the second printing that I have of issue 3 with the Raven, I'm going to assume it's a Raven, and his face, you know, it really gave me some like Edgar Allan Poe vibes. And I
I know the one you're talking about.
Love
that is
cover,
sweet.
That cover.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, is that up right now? Because I can't. Oh yeah.
But who drew that cover though?
That is by Miguel Zapata, who is a longtime Mad Cave artist and who does a bunch of the design for Mad Cave as well.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I love this cover, and then the cover of 4 where he's on the throne of the masks. That
yeah.
Is just a,
see, that
a
was
powerful one. Cover.
That one I was gonna say might be my favorite, because all the other covers I have are dark. And that's the one that is has that it catches your eye because it's white and then it's got all the masks. It's like that throne, like you said. I think that's real cool.
That's my favorite one for sure. He's just like, check out my sword, bro.
Yeah. And I think
It is so hard to pick as well which one.
Now, I think Nottingham 1's second print would be otherwise my favorite. That where he's like crouched over, it's like I think he was on like the side of the castle or he's on the side of a rocket.
Yeah,
can't remember with the lightning.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a cool one.
That's a
solid. I just felt like it really highlighted Shane's art. Like it just really had, I don't know, just the way the sword shaped and just his posture, just really, I don't know, very appealing.
Yeah.
And I just don't think there's a cover really that's, you know, that disappoints. So
you're right.
And then seeing some of like people whose work I've admired doing covers, that was cool. So like Andrea Muti did a cover for the 5th printing, and that was like, whoa. that was like the reality check moment. Was like, this is actually like people whose work I've admired are actually, you know, involved in this project beyond, you know, Shane, who I obviously admire, but I you know, people who I've been a fan of since before I was writing comics, you know.
Was that cover was, your sorry go ahead
that was my most fangirl cover. Was Nottingham number 1's 5th printing.
Was that the one that was black with like the? It's like it's not black and white. It's like black and blue tone.
Yeah, black
and it's got white. Like kind of like a V for Vendetta vibe in the background with the mask.
That's the issue that I have.
You have the 5th printing?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the one that I have.
Pretty cool. I think I feel like there was a couple. I don't know. Issue 2 had one where he was all like, it had like a red background where the mask was in the back with red, and there's like silhouettes of the. That one is super cool. Like there's
the
so many
cross.
Cool ones. And honestly, even like so, I have mine are all first prints, so I had to look up all the other ones while people were passing them around online. But
I'm sorry,
like,
you had to go through your millions of dollars that you had.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Lord forbid us peasants don't have a first print.
David has made me a very rich man. But no, like I felt like issue 5's cover like completed the volume so perfectly. It was like it's just got like that ensemble thing where they're just like, hey, what's up? We're in this book, and it just looked really good. Like every cover was good.
Retweet.
Yeah, and there's that artwork that he did when the guard's describing him disappearing into the woods, and it gives him like that demon look.
Oh yeah.
I tell you, that is one of my favorite panels from a book I've ever seen. I'm gonna be 100% honest. The writing of that sequence, the art, the colors, everything just fits perfectly, and it's a beautiful panel.
Yeah, I think that came together really well. I asked Shane, I was like, at the beginning, I was like, what do you like to draw? How do you feel about grids? He's like, I feel like grids constrain me. I'm like, all right, instead of, you know, forcing you into this, we're going to do it to only for effect. And I think that that issue two is by far my favorite sort of finished product. Issue three was probably my favorite to write. Issue two, you know, I'd gotten over the hump of kind of writing the first issue. I was like, all right, now I'm going to stretch my legs a bit and do some interesting things. And yeah, it just really all came together perfectly. And that interrogation sequence was just so much fun to write and so much fun to see come to life.
Mm. Yeah, and those one page spreads that they have where the guy's hung, and then you have the church, and you know, you have some more one page spreaders. Those are all just magnificent. So you know, if grids constrain him and he wants to do full pages, I'm in, because they're just beautiful. I'll pay $120 for 180 pages. I'm in.
And I'm trying to do more of that in volume two. I think I really made sure we only did that for effect in volume one. But I think now that we've kind of sort of established the characters, we get to stretch a little bit and make the moments last a little longer and use the pages in different ways. It's really people don't tell you this when you're writing comics, when you're sort of starting writing comics, but it is very difficult to squash a full story into five issues. You know, it's not an easy feat. And that's why if you, and this is my unsolicited advice for getting into comics, start by writing 4 and 8 page stories, because that is incredible practice for when you have to squeeze a story into one issue, or, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, you know, there's just, you have to really be economical with how you use your pages. And so you just can't like whack double page spreads everywhere necessarily, even though you might want to. And so, you know, there's only one double page spread in the entirety of the first five issues of Nottingham. I was like, I really want to do this in a way where it's impactful and meaningful, and I don't want to necessarily, you know, waste the space I have. I want to give you as much story as I can for your, you know, for your money.
Dude, you paced it like super well. Like, I never felt it rushed or like missed out on anything. Like, I felt like my seatbelt was strapped and I was in for the whole ride and I didn't miss a thing.
Yep. The way you set us up going into issue five was, it was a good ride the whole way through.
Well, like you were saying, David, with the not having all the splash pages, which I love them and all that, but the two-page spread only being there once, I felt like something I appreciated about the book is the quantity of dialogue. There's a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, but there's a fair amount of comics that are out there, usually from the big two, where they are meeting deadlines, they're shoving out books, and it gives the artist a lot of time to shine, but a lot of times there's a lack of story because there's no dialogue, and you'll have 5-6 pages sometimes in one of those books that just has no dialogue. Sometimes it works, and other times it's like, man, I just paid money for this and there ain't even anybody talking. So I really appreciated that as I was reading through Nottingham, and I just like Derek said, I never felt bored. I never felt like I was like, man, what are we doing? We're wasting time. I felt like every moment was meat and potatoes the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time.
Yeah.
With lots of gravy.
I think it has to be with these miniseries. It just has to. You have to kind of get as much across as you can. And also, I tried not to make it feel sort of like it's just a graphic novel told over 5 issues, you know, because sometimes you get a mini series which is like that, but I really wanted to make it feel as episodic as I possibly could. And sometimes that means that you know, you have to shove more meat and potatoes in than you otherwise
Well, I love meat and potatoes.
Yeah, it's a good steak. I'll tell you
don't have
right
to.
Now.
You have to sell that to me, though. You know.
I'm a chubby Midwesterner, so I'm all about it.
Well, I love biscuits, so I'm in.
Give me some biscuits.
Yeah, biscuits. That's hilarious. But yeah, that is the full page spread that you're talking about. Are you considering that with the archery rank competition?
Yeah, yeah. So that is the that's the double page spread. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like a two-page spread.
Yeah.
You get two events, so that's awesome. Talk about being economic. You are correct.
Yeah.
Buy one, get one.
Bang for your buck.
There you go. Yeah.
It's more like twang for your buck, you know, because of the archery.
Twang.
Thank you for the pity laugh for me this time.
That was better than Derek's joke.
If you guys like David so much, just keep him.
Hey, that sounds like something I said once.
It is. Yeah.
That was, I think, it might have been, David, I know you had commented at one point about us saying your name right. So you at least listened to part of one of our episodes.
I
don't
did.
Know if you listened to that other one where I said something stupid. Who knows? That was all the episodes.
Yeah, you're lucky Ricky said your name first as Hazan, because if it was me, I would have called you David Hazen or some shit.
Look, I'm used to it. It's, you know, it's my burden to bear, and it's nice when someone gets it right.
Sometimes
I'm not going to get offended when people get it wrong, but it's nice, you know, when someone gets it right.
I felt really good. I was like, man, I'm going to just say it because he's never going to listen to this. And I'm like, hey. And he's like, oh, you said it right. I'm like, oh my gosh, David is on commenting on my stuff. Oh.
Yeah, I like to listen. It's like, it's one of those like grubby writer things where you're like, I'm trying to engage on Twitter. And obviously you guys are the biggest way to do that. And, you know, I'm very thankful for all the hype because it really makes my life a lot easier, and B, it also makes me feel real good. So
we got your back, yeah, bro.
We're here for it. That's and right. One, I gotta say, like, so you, I know I've like Mark London and Brian Hawkins. I've seen a bunch on Twitter interacting with people. Like, it is across the board, everybody involved that I've seen seems to be really interactive on Twitter and does a really good job with, you know, answering fan questions and goofy stuff that all of us weird nerds are bothering you guys with. So much appreciated.
Yeah,
you know, it's just you. Like part of the gig, but it's also, you know, when it's lovely people like you guys, it's also makes it enjoyable. So
aw.
Thanks.
Aw, thanks for the reason you got out of bed at 9 a.m.
Listen, I have barely left the house in the last couple of months, so I have an excuse.
Human interaction.
We keep going into and out of lockdown.
Jeez.
Yeah, Delta's gone a bit nuts here. And I guess it's probably a relative term because we had, you know, months and months of no new cases and sort of very low numbers, and then we got hit with Delta a bunch of times, and it's been as soon as we suppress it, it comes back. And thankfully, you know, I left Sydney at the right time because, you know, they're in sort of 300 odd cases a day now, and it's pretty terrifying up there. Yeah. Part of that is because, you know, we've sort of had a pretty lackadaisical vaccine rollout. A pigeon
at this point,
flew into my window. that was terrifying.
You should have let your pigeon in, dude. You might have got your Hogwarts letter.
That was owls, you clown.
They used owls.
Well, they're in Australia, it's pigeons, okay? Don't ask me, ask J.K. Rowling.
Their animals do look different.
I don't make the news, I just report it.
Okay.
Sort of. Kind of.
Yeah, no, I'm not opening. I'm not opening my window to a pigeon. Pigeons are like the rats of the sky. I have no desire.
Amen. They're disgusting.
Somebody said it.
Really
that's the real.
And then somebody makes them a prettier color, and suddenly they're doves. Get out of here.
There's no difference.
That's what they do. Australia's got different looking stuff, man. I'm telling you, our possums are ugly, but theirs are cute. I'm just throwing that out there.
That's very true.
Well, don't we have opossums, right? Which are a little different.
Whatever, man. Same family.
I don't know. Yeah,
you're the history teacher guy. Leave the biology to the biologist.
History. I know my sister. My sister's a veterinarian, and she did an internship thing in Australia at one point. Whoa. And she was talking about, you know, our possums versus theirs with some local people, and theirs look like little teddy bears. Ours look like Satan rats.
Yeah, little
little devil spawns.
That's I bet they listen to Judas Priest.
Listen to Judas Priest. They have little leather vests and stuff.
Jeez. Oh, poor David. He's like, well, this is getting weird now. You guys are weird. We started weird, then we talked comics.
Yeah, look, I was in the weird from the beginning. Don't worry.
Any more questions? Do we have any more questions for our fine friend David about Nottingham?
I want to leave this poor guy alone. He wants a break from us. I'm sure of it. Who could stand to be around us this long?
Most David, people, I give him 20 minutes.
David, do you have anything you want to plug in before we stop this?
Apart from the Volume 1 trade for Nottingham, there's not much I can talk about yet. So go out, go out if it's safe. Buy Nottingham Volume 1, pre-order it, call your comic shop. You can pre-order it online. If you're really desperate to read the book now, I recommend Mad Cave has a subscription which allows you to get all 5 issues digitally, and then they will send you the trade when it comes out.
Ooh.
I highly recommend that. Ooh. It's $19.99, and you get all 5 digital issues and the trade when it comes out.
I feel like that's a stupid good deal.
That's a hell
is that digital or is that digital so, for the trade?
So no, so they send you the physical trade.
What?
Yeah. So it's the 5 digital issues and the physical trade.
That's crazy.
For $20. That's a steal.
Yeah, and I think they're doing that for all their comic series, which is that you buy the subscription, you get the digital issues as they come out, and then when the trade comes out, they just send that to you. And it's only, you know, like a few more bucks than just buying the trade, and you get to, you know, read it now. You get that immediacy, and you don't have to see everyone else spoiling not all the nonsense on Twitter, you know?
That's right. Yeah. Instant gratification.
Fantastic deal.
Yeah, we love it here in the age of the millennial, you know?
That's right.
Well, David, we here at the Weekly Pools want to thank you for joining us. This was fantastic.
Man. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. I really, you know, means a lot.
You're a great guest. Tevin loves you, bro.
I'm just gonna annoy you guys now. Every time I have a thing to plug, I'll just annoy you guys.
Do it.
Hey, we're in.
Do it, dude.
Hey, and before Derek wraps, just shout out obviously to David, you know, and to Shane Volk and to Luca Romano and to is it Jomet Gill? I don't know how to say.
And also Brian Hawkins, our editor.
Chris
as
Fernandez,
well.
Diana Bermudez, I think was something involved with book design, maybe.
Yeah.
There's a list of names and the creative team killed it. So high fives.
Yeah, shout out to all of them as well.
Retweet.
I think everybody. You guys would have a blast with Shane too, so you guys should definitely have him on.
Yay!
Yeah, hey, we're in fun. We can just have a big Nottingham party.
Yay!
Please.
Everybody go buy Nottingham. It's legit.